Sup, fools? This is the QTR Podcast. Today is July 31st, 2018. What the fuck's going on? Real quick up front, I just want to remind you that the podcast is brought to you by my Patreons. If you don't know what Patreon is, it is a spot where you can sign up and shoot a monthly recurring donation, whatever you would like and any amount that you would like, whatever you deem fit, whatever is possible. And if not, also, that's cool too. But just know that my Patreons basically keep the podcast 100% advertisement free, so I'm not interrupting myself in the middle of the podcast, which is annoying as fuck. I hate when other people do that. Anyways, just want to fire off some of my latest Patreons and just give a shout out to Rob, David, Fat Freddy's Cat, Kenneth, the Michigan Athletics Archive. No idea what that is, but stoked that you're with us. William, Brendan, Massimo, Eric, Chris, Mike, Law, Lindsay, Mike H, Mike Hanlon. I say your full name, Mike. Sorry. And then I think Sam Pearson was pissed off because I forgot him, so I got him too. And I want to give a special shout out too to my oldest Patreon, who's the first dude that was down in February of this year, and that's Max Mulvihill, my longest running Patreon, and stoked to have you also, Max. And another quick special shout out, just to Mike, one of my latest Patreons, who is who's helping out a lot, and Michael Samuels, also a different Mike. So MCG212, I see you, and Mike Samuels, thank you too, my brother. Robert Micello also coming through in a huge way for us and for the QTR listeners to keep things ad-free and not boring and not stale. With that being said, anything going on this week, guys? Does anybody have a clue about what could be going on this week? Today, I just got done reading Apple's earnings report, and while that was interesting, and it actually was a very good report, they beat EPS, they beat revenue, they guided above expectations, they smashed iPhone ASP. The stock's at about 197 after hours right now. If I had to guess, it is going to be over 200 tomorrow. It might open over 200. I wouldn't be surprised to see like a 202, 203 open. And then once it cracks 200, which is a big storyline, people will be pushing the storyline to get it to 1 trillion. And actually, I don't know what the market cap is right now. So let's take a look. Let's do some work together. By the way, there is a 2-drink minimum for this podcast. I am not an investment advisor. I'm not even close, actually. And do your research elsewhere. With that being said, it looks like Apple closed with a $935 billion market cap, so they would need probably about 8%, right, rise in the stock, and the stock's up 3.5%. We'll get there. I think we'll get there this week, and that'll be a major headline. It's going to go to a trillion. Apple will be the first company, undoubtedly. So what's going on Wednesday? Does anybody know? Does anybody have a clue? Oh, goodness me. I just read something on Twitter. So Wednesday, if you have been living on Jupiter for the last 3 months, Wednesday is Tesla's Q2 earnings call. I wanted to give a little bit of a preview as to what I am. And I realize I'm doing this on Tuesday night, so you guys probably got about a day to listen to this until it becomes irrelevant. So you're just going to have to smash your way through this podcast before 4 o'clock tomorrow. Otherwise, it's not going to make any fucking sense, which basically would put it in line with all of the rest of my podcasts. So we're having fun today. I just started looking at the Martin Tripp countersuit against the company. Certainly looks like an interesting document to read, talking about punctures and batteries that wound up in vehicles. And it seems, just from the small bit that I read a moment ago, that the amount of detail that Martin Tripp has recalled and recanted into his suit against the company is pretty astonishing. That may wind up being a podcast in and of itself at some point, but right now the one thing that I wanted to talk about is like the one question that I think should come up during the earnings call tomorrow. And it doesn't matter whether you're a bull, and it doesn't matter whether or not you're a bear. There's one question that has to be put to the company tomorrow, and that's whether or not they've received a Wells notice, or whether or not the SEC is preventing them from doing a capital raise. You know, when this started coming up a couple of months ago and people started tossing the idea around on Twitter, I, for the most part, wrote it off because, you know, I'm of the opinion, I think, at least, and rightfully so, that when you receive a Wells notice, you have to disclose it. I mean, almost everybody that receives a Wells notice discloses it. I don't know why you wouldn't disclose it. It's material in nature, and you've seen the disclosure being made in other filings, which indicates to me that securities lawyers all over the place think that it's relevant enough to include. And on top of that, you have John Gavin at Probes Reporter, who continues to say that the company has been under an undisclosed SEC investigation, whether or not it's undisclosed by the company and they know about it, or it's just ongoing by the SEC and the company doesn't know about it, which could be a possibility. I don't really know. It's possible that the SEC went to the company and said you can't raise capital, but they didn't say you're under investigation. But I had to believe that if the company had received a Wells notice, that they would have disclosed it one way or another by this point. So I kind of wrote off this idea that they were not doing a capital raise because the SEC was preventing them from doing it. I know that they're probably in need of capital. I know that it is a pressing issue that all eyes are on. But for some reason, to me, it always seemed a little too conspiratorial. And I'm really a guy that embraces conspiracy theories. I love it. I love considering them. So, and plus, to be honest with you, I'm not super experienced with companies in the past not being able to raise capital because of a Wells notice being issued. I'm sure that's the case because I've talked to a couple of very prominent hedge fund managers and guys that manage billions with a B, and more than one of them, who have both expressed the same concern to me. I think over the last 2 weeks, I've talked to two multi-billion dollar hedge fund managers, both of whom, without prompting, raised the point to me that they would be interested to know whether or not the SEC is precluding the company from raising capital. Because to them, in their minds, it just doesn't make sense that the company is burning through so much cash that it's burning through and that they're not addressing it at this point. And personally, I don't have a model. I know the company is stretched. I don't know whether or not the cash balance that they are reporting at the end of the quarter is indicative of the cash balance that they carry during the quarter. I know that there's been people posting things about liens being posted on the company and mortgaging the Fremont factory and all these things. So all of these things indicate that there's a liquidity crunch probably at the company, or at least there may be a liquidity crunch. The only question to me is whether or not the company may be okay to raise capital, but just isn't doing it because of basically Musk's ego. I mean, he came out and he was the one that said with some gusto that the company didn't need to raise capital this year. So now I'm wondering if instead of there being a Wells notice issued and that precluding them from raising capital, maybe it's just Musk not wanting to do it because he knows. He knows the second that if he goes and raises capital this year, or if he's not cash flow positive Q3, Q4, that the market is not going to look on that with a friendly eye. And that's the last thing that he needs right now, because he is under intense scrutiny right now and his company is under intense scrutiny. So missing on a guideline like that, which has been harped and heralded on and made into a huge story, would be a big story in and of itself. That would be a major win for the Bears and a major loss for the Bulls if he had to come out and raise capital on an ongoing basis. Now, if you talk to some Bulls in the company, like Galileo Russell says, you know, he's expecting them to raise capital. He wants them, you know, he's pricing in whatever, $3 or $4 billion a year in capital that they're going to have to raise in order to continue down the runway that they're on and the growth trajectory that they're on and the trajectory that they're going to try and be on for new models and to sell in new locations. And he's kind of baked that into his model, which is something that he said. So if they're waiting on raising capital because of the SEC, that's a different story. Then it's a real problem, because then the company is involuntarily in a crunch that they don't have any way out of. And I truly believe that if the SEC has filed a Wells notice and they are conducting a formal investigation and they're looking into some of the claims that were made versus the results that were produced, especially in the months leading up to prior capital raises. If that's the reality of the situation, I don't think that that favors the company. I think it would be difficult for the SEC to go after the company because from a public relations standpoint, it's not going to look great. You going after a guy like Elon Musk or going after an alternative energy company. But on the other hand, I think that they certainly would be able to build themselves a case if they dug hard enough and they really wanted to. So let's just assume that they do have a Wells notice issued. Well, what happens? I mean, if it's a lengthy investigation and it precludes them from raising capital going forward, the company is going to put itself into a real cash crunch unless we learn something on the earnings call on Wednesday that nobody's expecting. There's some, you know, miraculous change in the company's ability to generate cash or to turn a profit consistently. But nobody really sees that happening. So if the SEC is involved and they're really preventing the company from raising capital, the situation could get a lot worse before it gets a lot better. And I truly believe that if the SEC looks deeply in, and here's the thing about Tesla, and here's the thing about the SEC, in my opinion, the SEC does a good job, but they're limited in staff and they're limited in resources. So there's only so much that they can do. And it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of times they rely on the help of people who are critical of companies or even short sellers or people that do this type of investigative work as part of their job to provide them with tons of documents and information and places where to look. I mean, certainly we know that's what happened during the days of Herbalife. You know, Ackman was liaising with the SEC and sending them everything they could find. Of course, ultimately the SEC didn't do anything, which I thought was astonishing. That's another story. But Tesla is so much in the spotlight that you have to figure there are manila envelopes full of information just being FedEx to the SEC on a daily basis about this company. So I think if there is a Wells notice issued and they're looking at the company, they probably don't have any shortage of carpets to lift up and doors to look behind. Now let's assume that there is. So obviously if there's a Wells notice and they're precluding them from raising capital, things might get a lot worse before they get a lot better. Now in a situation where the company's just not raising capital because Elon Musk's ego doesn't allow them to, or because he's trying to fulfill his promise, I guess this would be kind of the neutral situation. The first one being, if the SEC is involved, that's really kind of a negative. A neutral kind of situation, I think, for shareholders would be if Musk is just holding out. So maybe he can run the company on a gas generator. Literally, he can run the Fremont factory on a generator until the end of the year, and then January 1st at 12:01 in the morning, go out and raise capital to make his point. We didn't have to raise capital this year. But, and that wouldn't surprise me because of all these arbitrary short-term targets that the company is gauging itself on, the company's grading itself on. You know, we made 5,000 cars in a week. Okay, well, can you do it for 2 weeks? Can you do it for 10 weeks? Can you do it for 20 weeks? So it wouldn't surprise me if that's the case. And he's literally just trying to uphold exactly what he said. That wouldn't surprise me. But again, things will probably get a little bit tighter heading into the back end of the year this year, if that's the case. So a lot of people are going to be watching the cash position at the end of the quarter. A lot of people are going to be watching what the burn was. I think a best case scenario is that the company is just doing so exceptionally well that they don't need it. And I think that's probably not the case, but I laid out a bad situation and I laid out a neutral situation. So I just wanted to say, I think that would probably be the best situation. I think in a situation where they're able to surprise on Q2, the stock goes much higher. And I'll tell you why. Everybody is banking on Q2 being a disaster. And I just had a call about this today. I was talking to somebody about it. Everybody is banking on this quarter being terrible because everybody has already succumbed to the fact that Q3 and Q4 are going to be the quarters to watch, because that's where cash flow positive was promised. And even the Bulls, even Ross Gerber was on Twitter today saying, you know, forget about Q2. So I think sentiment going into this report is terrible. And Bears, I think, are already taking somewhat of a victory lap and the numbers aren't even out yet. And that makes me a little nervous. If they can somehow surprise in Q2 and they can release information that beats the street's estimates or beat the street expectations, I do think the stock could squeeze in the short term just because sentiment going in here is so bad. And it seems as though the catalyst that is going to drag Tesla lower is going to have to be substantial because all of this information continues to come out over the last 6 months. I mean, just think of all the dumb shit that Elon Musk has done on Twitter over the last 6 months. Think of all of the customer complaints and the quality control issues and the saboteur and the lawsuits and the Montana skeptic thing. And you think about all this stuff that's come out. And what Musk said to analysts on the last phone call, on the last conference call. You think about all this stuff, and really the stock is where it was 6 months ago or 12 months ago for the most part. I mean, it's still at $300 a share. So I think it's going to take something nuclear to shake the hands of long-term investors in this company. And I think it's going to take a real catalyst to drive shares lower. And Q2 missing when everybody is expecting Q2 to miss, I don't think is going to be good enough. I think if they meet the street's horrible expectations, the stock will rally. And I think if they barely miss, the stock will stay at 300 or it'll rally. I think they would need something negative to the nth degree for the stock to move lower. They would need a full-scale four-alarm miss. They would have to have terrible guidance or something like this Wells notice would have to be disclosed, which I think would put a chill into the hearts of people that have been holding the stock and kind of ignoring this angle of the story. I think it's possible, but certainly I have to believe with the scrutiny that the company's under, if they had received a Wells notice, that they probably would have disclosed it. I mean, if they are in receipt of a Wells notice and they have not disclosed it, then that's just more ammunition for the SEC, right? So I would kind of pass the whole scenario off as conspiratorial, but for the fact that two hedge fund managers that I talked to over the last week, who both have over $1 billion under management, both brought it up to me unprovoked. One guy said, what I'm interested in seeing is whether or not they are even able to raise capital. I mean, and that came from one of the best in the business, which made me rethink my decision that I had already made that perhaps it was a little bit conspiratorial. But this is the one question that I think bulls and bears alike both need the answer to. And it's not so crazy and conspiratorial that it should be ignored. I mean, just like how many Model 3 reservations do you have? I mean, that's an extremely relevant piece of information that investors need on both sides of the aisle. It's really just, I would say for a car manufacturer, the least you can do in terms of disclosure. Give the market a clear indication of how many reservations are left, how many reservations have canceled, how many have been fulfilled over the quarter, how many are yet to be fulfilled, and what your timeline for fulfilling them are. And what is the rate at which reservations are coming in and cancellations or refunds are being made? And another thing, while you're on that, why don't you talk about your internal controls for cash handling? And why I keep seeing on Twitter people saying that they got their Model 3 and the money wasn't debited from their account, or they were refunded their reservation money twice. That's not something that happens with a company that has good internal controls. That kind of shit is really alarming. I mean, there was a guy that posted on Twitter just a couple days ago. I'm going to read it to you here. Hold on. This was something that I posted yesterday, and it is, now, look, this is off Twitter, so it might be completely made up, it might be total bullshit, or it might not be. So just with that disclaimer in mind, I'm going to read it to you. It's a tweet to Elon Musk from an account called Tim Piott, at P-E-O-T-T-I-M, so you can go investigate it on your own, do your research elsewhere. It says, got my Model 3 3 weeks ago, paid in full. ACH never cleared my account. That's the electronic transfer of cash. emailed customer service and my pre-delivery coordinator. No one seems to care you gave me a free Model 3. I'm trying to make this right, so I thought I would go to the head of the company. So let's just assume that this guy is telling the truth. What does that say about the company's internal controls? I mean, that's astonishing if it's true. If it's been weeks, like he said. So, I don't know. I'd be interested in knowing all those specific reservation numbers for the Model 3. I think as a car company that is making this your mass production vehicle that you have used to entice investors, that's the least that you could do. But the Wells notice is really the least that you can do, and I'll tell you why. Because it's a fucking easy answer. Either the answer is yes, you have received a Wells notice, or no, you have not received a Wells notice. That's it. Let me explain something about disclosure as a public company that I learned the hard way from working at a public company and enduring hours of pain when we had to disclose information that was not beneficial to the market. Or even when I got started working for a public company and I was literally writing my first couple press releases and I would take them to a securities attorney and he would send them back to me basically completely redlined. And he always said to me, you know, you can't just highlight the good, you have to highlight the good and the bad. And I was learning. I was learning about disclosure. And disclosure works in the following ways when you're a public company. When you miss a quarter or you miss a target, you can't not disclose that. You have to own up to it. You have to own up to it. So the rule when you miss or when you have bad news shouldn't be, how do we spin this? How do we make it good? How do we make it look better? Or how can we gear things or present things differently to make this look better than it is? The goal should be, how do we get this out there? And then how do we move on from it? How do we fix whatever the problem is? Or how do we just move forward? Because as a public company, you have an obligation to report the good and the bad. Obviously, it's a lot more fun when you're reporting good news. Obviously, everybody at the company is going to have a better day when you're, as a collective, you beat the quarter. And CNBC is running articles about how great your quarter was and how awesome everything is at your company and your stock goes up. Obviously, you're going to have a better day. But no company executes that perfectly all the time forever. Having bad quarters, as much as the Federal Reserve would like that to be the case, it's not the case. So no company is just going to go out and beat every single quarter. It's just impossible. At some point, expectations get too high and it kind of asymptotes upwards. And it goes parabolic or whatever you want to call it. And at some point, the expectations become out of reach. So it's normal throughout the course of business to make some targets and to miss some targets. And as a public company, you're obligated to report both of those things. So when something like this Wells notice idea gets tossed around, why not just answer? I mean, if the answer is yes, then just come out and say yes. I'm sure the SEC would be very happy that you chose to disclose it to your investors if that's what's happened. Why not? Why not just disclose it? Why not just say it is what it is? You're only going to make it look worse by withholding the information. Can you imagine if investors found out a company got a Wells notice a year ago and you had to disclose that there was a formal investigation now instead of a Wells notice? Right off the bat, without giving any prior indication that the company had received a Wells notice, that doesn't do you any favors. And shit, if it's not the problem, why wouldn't you just come out and say it's no problem? That's another thing, right? You would think that if they hadn't received a Wells notice, that would be in their arsenal of quote-unquote good news that they could release to the market. Maybe that's what they'll do tomorrow, I don't know. But that's definitely the one question that I think this company owes an answer to, not just to me. Personally, I don't really care. You know, I believe the truth is going to come out eventually down the road anyways. But to people that are considering an investment decision in the company, to bondholders, to major shareholders, These are the kind of people that deserve an answer to that question. There's certain things that you're expected to be transparent about and answer when you're a public company, and there's certain things that you aren't. Nobody's going to break your balls over day-to-day operations, day-to-day expenditures. People pretty much leave you alone about stuff like that. There's a column of probably 50 or 100 things that when they occur at a public company, they're material. And this is one of them. So just as I think you have an obligation to report it if it happens, I think given the amount of scrutiny that's been placed on it over the last 6 months, it would probably be in their best interest to refute it if it isn't what has happened. I mean, doesn't that make sense? I posted my Tesla Q2 earnings call bingo card on my Twitter page. If you haven't seen it, it's pinned on my Twitter profile. I stole a couple of things that I used from the shareholder meeting. I wanted to go over some of the things that we might be looking for here on the Q2 call. It's going to be very difficult to get bingo, I think. I've made the card with a lot of kind of niche, esoteric things that really may not happen. But I wanted to make it so that if anybody actually got bingo, they would really be able to celebrate. Because let's just look at some of the items we have on here. How about this one? B1, first in the B column. Kimball Musk comes up in any regard. Wouldn't you love to hear from Kimball Musk? Wouldn't it just be such a delectable treat if he somehow made his way onto the conference call with his cowboy hat and his rhinestone pants and his cowboy boots and his big belt buckle? I'm not sure what kind of cowboy Kimball Musk is, because he comes off as like a California cowboy. I don't know if there's... It's like Bill Maher said one time. He's like... He was talking about George W. Bush, and he's like, he's dressed like a cowboy, and I don't know if you know, but there aren't any cowboys anymore, which means he's wearing a costume. Which is how I feel about Kimball Musk when I look at his photograph. I understand that you're farming or whatever you're doing, but you don't have to wear that hat and all that cowboy stuff. You know, it looks like he's wearing like Gucci cowboy gear in some of the photos that I've seen, like a $500, you know, shirt that's made to look like it's been worn by an actual farmer for 20 years, when in fact it's just being sold like that at the Louis Vuitton store. But regardless, maybe Kimball Musk will saddle up and ride his way onto the conference call somehow. Certainly, it doesn't seem like he's doing anything on the board of directors, given the fact that his brother, CEO Numbnuts, is kind of just getting away with whatever he wants here. Well, maybe Kimball Musk will come up. Galileo Russell asks a question again. I actually think that might happen, so you guys probably have a free pass on B2. The tent being brought up, which is B3, I think that will probably happen too. I think it's unavoidable. B4 is going to be a tough one. Boring Company or Hyperloop mention. You never know, though. If the company needs to divert the narrative from cars, which is really what they do, so obviously they may need to divert the narrative depending on how bad the quarter is. You might wind up hearing about the Boring Company or Hyperloop. B5, another maybe tough one. Something about that new Roadster they're planning on, although that doesn't seem like too much of a stretch, because they're constantly kind of carrot on a string leading down the primrose path with things. So maybe they'll dangle the new Roadster in front of everybody on the conference call and talk about that. In the I column, semi Model Y factory plans announced. I just don't think that's going to happen. And I think if it does, they'll have to be full of shit. I2 is whether or not the company will address the lot of uncovered Model 3s found in California. Certainly, that's another thing that everybody would love an explanation for, and I think they had some ARS Technica or Clean Technica or somebody probably do a little PR work for them and try to explain that in an article that came out a couple weeks ago, but I'd like to know that. I3 is going to be a tough one. Any hint of Musk succession plan from CEO or board? That would be a good one if you can get it, but we'll have to see if it's possible or not. I4 is whether or not Montana Skeptic comes up on the call. I would love if an analyst had some balls and actually asked about that. You guys in the investment bank community know that it doesn't all have to be about fucking discounted cash flow, right? You know, you can ask questions about like, hey, what made you tweet this picture of Miley Cyrus at 3 o'clock in the morning? You can ask questions like that. It may not be what you learn as a CFA candidate or coming out of Dartmouth, but you know, hopefully I think everybody has this portion of their brain that's still dedicated to common sense and being a human being. And hopefully you wouldn't not ask a question like that just because it's not what you were trained in Microsoft Excel. The end column would be maybe a mention if they still believe they're going to be cash flow positive, which I have to think they're going to say. N2 is a tough one. Tesla surfboards will come up on the conference call. I don't know if that'll happen. They just sold 200 surfboards for $1,500 each. That's either a desperate cash grab, which I actually don't think it is, or just a bit of merchandising. If that was done because they need the cash, holy shit. But I don't think that was done because they need the cash, because it's such a nominal amount of cash, $250,000 or $200,000 or whatever they would make from that. I don't know. I was reading an article about it somewhere. Anyways, N4 is anyone on the call saying the words Wells Notice. And that is what I would love to hear. N5 is a timeline for the $35,000 Model 3 release is given. And I mean a definitive timeline, not a couple of years or we're going to get to it. I don't know if that's going to happen. So let's go G and O, number one. Surprise voluntary board resignations. Don't think it's going to happen, but hey, you never know. Some type of Tesla mobility or Tesla energy reveal. That's possible if they're going to have to maybe distract from the vehicle narrative. Could be possible one of those things comes up. We'll need a capital raise this year. That would be an interesting admission. That would be changing course for G2. O2 is Lynette Lopez or Vern Unsworth mentioned by name. Lynette Lopez, of course, famously the journalist that Elon Musk accused seemingly without any evidence of colluding with Jim Chanos. And Vern Unsworth is the rescue hero from the Thai cave flood that Elon Musk also seemingly without evidence accused of being a pedophile on Twitter. Oops. G3, I love this one. Someone curses or uses a profanity. I think if we go the skilling route, this is possible. This could actually happen. I think G3 might be your sleeper pick. If you want to take my bingo card and turn it into like a fucking Super Bowl pool and start selling squares to your friends, I think whoever gets G3 might actually be... that would be like a sleeper pick. I think somebody using a curse word would probably pay like maybe 350-1 in Vegas, or yeah, not 350. I would say $350 on a $100 bet, so 3.5-1. I think I would take that bet if Vegas offered me 3.5-1 odds on somebody cursing. I think it's possible, because I think it's just possible things have just gotten so fucking nuts there that like somebody might lose it, even if it's not Musk. You know, just like the CFO, like, I can't fucking take it anymore. No more questions. You know, like just fucking losing his mind. Anyways, O3, Elon Musk's tweeting habits are brought up by company or analyst. That I think you got a possibility there. G and O4, SpaceX is brought up somehow in conjunction with Tesla. I think this is inevitably coming. I think that SpaceX, which I think to the best of my understanding is a profitable company, may wind up being brought up with Tesla, similar to the way SolarCity was. I mean, SolarCity, everybody kind of believes that was just bailed out. SpaceX might be brought up as this is an interesting acquisition, you know. I wouldn't put it beyond this company to do that. And then I wouldn't put it beyond the company's already existing shareholders to think it's a fantastic idea. GNO5, company discloses how they'll pay for China or Europe gigafactories. Two things they disclosed and were talking about, but didn't really talk about how they planned on financing these things. And O5, another wild card that I like. Any share structure manipulation. I was thinking of this one today. Maybe they'll do a stock split, which I think actually would help them because their retail shareholders, I don't think most of them understand equity valuation to begin with. Probably some of them do. But if you can lower the stock price from a share split, you're in essence showing the rest of the retail investors that you're quote unquote rewarding retail by offering them a quote unquote lower stock price, which of course doesn't mean a lower valuation, but that might draw in some people who were stoked to have one share of Tesla and now they are stoked to have two, regardless of whether or not the stock tanks right after it happens. Or a buyback or new share class or, you know, preferreds being issued or something like that. All types of share structure manipulation that I think are possibly that could possibly happen. So if you want to take a look at the bingo board, you can grab it. It's on my Twitter. It's at QTR Research. It's the pinned tweet. I'm going to leave it up there until the earnings call tomorrow, obviously. I think it would take something really gnarly. It would take a really weird-ass report to get bingo anywhere. But I think if anybody can do it, I think Tesla could do it. So it'll certainly be fun to play along at home. But look, if I had to say one question, if you got me on the conference call and I had to ask one question that I thought was both fair to bulls and bears and fair to everybody involved with the company and that I did not think was an overreach of what the public is entitled to know, I would ask whether or not this company has gotten a Wells notice. And if the answer is no, I'm fine with that. We just want to know. The market wants to know. So until we meet again tomorrow, that is the one thing I would like to hear tomorrow. But shit, we're going to have some stuff to talk about this week. I'm almost certain. So just like Kimball Musk, I'm going to put my cowboy hat back on, my rhinestone pants, and I'm going to ride the fuck out of here today. Peace.